Today we're building a percussion layer widened system in Ableton Live 12, using resampling workflows to get that jungle and old-school DNB kind of energy, wide, gritty, animated, but still punchy in the center. And that balance is the whole game. We are not trying to make the entire drum bus huge and blurry. We're building a controlled stereo support layer that wraps around the main break, the hats, the ghost hits, the little metal ticks, the reverse tails, all of that detail that gives the groove movement. The kick and snare stay strong and focused in the middle. The sub stays locked. The width lives above and around that core. So first, get your foundation right. Start with your main drum loop, break, or drum rack pattern. If you've got a kick and snare driving the track, keep those central. A good way to think about it is this. The center is the engine. The widened layer is the atmosphere. If the engine is weak, no amount of stereo trickery is going to save it. On your main drum bus, drop in a utility and keep the width narrow or even fully mono for the low-end focused elements. Then use a Q8 to clean up any top loop material. If you've got hats or break fragments that are sharing space with the body of the drums, high-pass them somewhere in the 150 to 250 Hz range, maybe a little higher if needed. The point is to keep the widening layer out of the low-mid mud zone. Now set up a dedicated resampling track. Call it something like Perk Resample Wide. Set its input to resampling, or route just the percussion elements into it if you want more control. This is where the fun starts. Record a few bars of percussion-only material. You want variety. Chopped hats, break tails, rim clicks, tiny ghost notes, little reverse transients, maybe even some room noise or break hiss if it sounds good. Don't overthink the first pass. In jungle and old-school DNB, happy accidents are often the best material. The reason resampling is so powerful here is that it turns all those little moving parts into audio. Once it's audio, you can slice it, trim it, stretch it, and process it like a living texture instead of a fixed MIDI pattern. After you've recorded it, trim the clip down to the bits that actually feel useful. You're looking for short rhythmic fragments that can support the groove without stealing attention from the main drums. At this stage, clean it up, put an EQ8 on the resample and high-pass it, usually somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz depending on the source. If it's harsh, make a small cut in the 5 to 9 kHz region. If it feels boxy or hollow, dip a little around 250 to 500 Hz. Then add a saturator, maybe just a few dB of drive, with soft clip-on if you want a bit more density and glue. That little bit of saturation is important. Old-school-inspired DNB likes texture. It likes the feeling that the drums were printed through a real chain, not polished to death. You want some grime, but controlled grime. Now we build the widening chain. A really solid starting chain is EQ8, then chorus ensemble, then autopan, then echo, then utility, with a small reverb if needed. You do not need all of these slammed hard. In fact, less is usually better. The goal is motion and space, not a massive glossy stereo wash. Start with chorus ensemble very subtly. Keep the mix low to moderate. You just want a bit of spread, a little extra movement, not that obvious wobbly chorus effect that makes the layer sound seasick. Then bring in auto pan sync to something like 1/8 or 1/16, with the phase set wide. Keep the amount modest. Again, this is motion, not gimmick. Then add a short echo. Keep the feedback low, the delay time short, and the filtering dark. This can create that little smeared rhythmic halo around the percussion, which is perfect for jungle and darker rollers. If you push too much feedback, it can quickly become messy, so keep it tasteful. If you want a bit of depth, add a tiny reverb after that. Short decay, low cut engaged, pre-delay just enough to keep the transient clear. The reverb should feel like ambience inside the groove, not like the drums got sent into a cathedral. Then use utility at the end of the chain and widen this layer only. Something in the 120 to 160% range is often enough. More than that can get facey fast, especially if the layer already has chorus and echo on it. Here's a useful teacher tip. Don't use too many widening processes at once unless you really need them. A lot of times, one main motion source and one depth source is enough. For example, autopan can give you motion, and a short echo can give you depth. Stack too many wideners and you often get blur instead of size. If your percussion is inside a drum rack, you can make this even smarter. Keep the kick and snare on their own path, dry and centered. Put hats and shakers on a separate chain and let them beat a little wider. Put ghost hits and break edits on a chain that gets sent to the resample track. Put any extra effects, percussion or top noise on a chain that can be high-passed and slightly panned. This lets you widen the top material without smearing the actual drum impact. And that's really the advanced mindset here. Surgical widening, not blanket widening. Now, once the resampled layer is sounding good, don't just leave it running like a static texture. Use it as an arrangement tool. Slice the audio into phrases. Pull out one bar fills. Grab two bar loops. Use a reverse tail before a snare pickup. Use a little burst of widened texture right before a switch up. In D&B, movement over time matters just as much as the sound itself. A nice arrangement idea is to start the track relatively narrow, then let the wide percussion gradually fade in over the first 8 bars. By the time the drop is fully established, the wide layer is alive and present, but it never made the main drum hits lose focus. That's how you get the feeling that the groove opens up without losing punch. You can also automate width and filtering to create tension. Try automating utility width from maybe 90% up to 150 or 160% over a phrase, or automate the high pass cutoff on the wide layer so it climbs upward before a drop. That way, the layer gets thinner, brighter, and more urgent as the transition approaches. Then, when the drop lands, bring the full texture back in. That contrast feels huge. Another important thing, control the transients. White percussion can lose bite if you let it get too smeared. Use drum buss lightly if needed, or a gentle compressor or glue compressor to hold the layer together. You can also gate noisy resamples to tighten them up. If the attack is too soft, add a touch of transient energy back in. If the layer is poking out too hard, tame it with EQ or compression. A good rule is that the wide layer should feel alive, but it should not distract from the kick and snare. If you solo it and it sounds a little weird or thin, that's often okay. What matters is how it sits in the full mix. And that brings us to the real test. Bounce it again. This is one of the best Ableton workflows for D&B. Once your widened system sounds right, resample the result to a new audio track. Print the widened percussion. Then trim it, consolidate the best parts, and keep versions of it. Maybe one dry-ish version, one more animated version, and one extra dirty transition version. This gives you reusable audio assets you can drop into different sections of the track quickly. That's such a big part of how jungle and old-school D&B gets its movement, not just sound design, but committing interesting audio moments and arranging them with intent. Now check the whole thing in mono. This is non-negotiable. Put utility on the drum bus or master and collapse the mix. Listen carefully. Does the wide layer vanish completely? Does it suddenly get harsh? Does it fight the snare crack? Does it step on the bass line? If yes, reduce the chorus, narrow the width a bit. Clean up the EQ or high pass harder. If the layer is too forward, sidechain it lightly from the kick or snare. The goal is simple. The bass and main drums stay in charge. The width supports them. It makes the track feel bigger, dirtier, and more animated, but it never steals the spotlight. A few extra pro moves before we wrap up. If the track feels too clean, degrade the resample a bit more. Add a touch of saturator, a little short echo, maybe a tiny bit of filtered noise. If the stereo image feels vague, simplify the chain and let one main widening element do the job. If you want more movement, try tiny timing offsets between hats, shakers, and rim hits. Even a few milliseconds can create that human, layered feel that works so well in jungle. And for darker D&B, remember the sweet spot. Wide enough to feel alive, not so wide that it sounds modern and polished. That's the vibe. So the full workflow is, build a solid mono-scented drum foundation, resample percussion, clean it up, widen it with subtle stereo tools, automate it across the arrangement, print it again, and then check it in mono. That's your percussion layer widen system. It gives you width, motion, grime, and momentum, while keeping the core of the track locked and powerful. And that is exactly what old-school jungle flavor D&B needs. Now go build one 4-bar loop, print a few resamples, and start shaping your own stereo percussion halo. Once you hear how much bigger the groove feels without losing punch, you'll definitely want to use this again and again.